Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I'm going to tell a story, and I'll just give you up front. This is a preacher story, okay? So you know what that means. But there was a tea for officers and their wives, and the commanding general at the base was given a speech, and he was just going on and on and on, and a very young Jeff Stambaugh was in that room, and he leaned over to the person next to him, and he said, "That guy just goes on and on every time I hear him." The woman looked at him, and she said, "Do you know who I am?" And he said, "No." She said, "I'm that man's wife." He said, "Uh-oh. Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." And he got out of there as fast as he could. Now, we know Jeff would have never done that. But it is very important to know who someone is. And we're beginning a new series this morning. And we're going to look at why Jesus came. But before we look at why he came, we're going to look at who he is. So let's continue to worship. Well, as I said, we're starting a new sermon series this morning. And the sermon series will ask the question, look at the idea of why Jesus came. And we're going to find the answer in his own words as we look through the Gospels. But as I said at the beginning, it's important to know who someone is. Before we ask why Jesus came, let's take a morning to talk about who Jesus was. And most important thing I want to say today is that Jesus came as a king. And if you have an outline that you want to use to follow along with, I encourage you to do that. That Jesus came to this earth as a king. Matthew and Luke especially start with Jesus coming as a baby, and we love that story, but we need to recognize, because the Gospels recognize, that even when he came as a baby, he still came as a king, and the angels recognized that. In Luke chapter 1, the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. The Bible says it, and we just sang it, and it's true. And it was said about a baby. He came as a king, and he reigns. Even as a baby, he reigned, and his kingdom would never end. So the angels recognized that. The wise men recognized that. They traveled a great distance to Jerusalem following a star. They went to Herod, who was the king over Judea at that time. And they asked him, not where's the kid, but where's the king? They were looking for a king. And they found a king, and he was lying in a manger, but he was still a king, because he was a king before he was ever born. Jesus came as a king, and his arrival in the world was as a king, and it's a kingdom without end, and it's a kingdom that is claiming the allegiance of people all over the world, and I hope and pray that it is a kingdom that is claiming your allegiance. The Bible clearly depicts Jesus as the king. And having a kingdom over which he reigns with dominion and with power. And his power was over nature. Jesus, as the king, has power over nature. He could speak a thought and fish swam into a net that hadn't swam into a net all night long. He could speak a thought and wind and waves would be still, because the natural world knew he was the king. And he had power over demons, and he spoke a thought, and he commanded them to come out. And the demons, not once, whether it was one demon or a legion of demons, not once did the demons ever talk back to the king, because the supernatural world knew that Jesus came as the king. And he had power over death. whether it was a little girl who had just died or Lazarus who had been in the tomb for days, death could not hold what Jesus called back into life, because the underworld knew that Jesus came as a king. And the Gospels present him to you and me. We need to recognize him as the king. And so we're going to look at all the wonderful reasons that Jesus came into the world, but we need to see all of them through these lens, that Jesus came as a king. He came to bring a kingdom into this world. And that's my next point, is that Jesus came to bring us good news. Earlier this week, one of our members said, I think we should call it the fantastic news, because it is fantastic. The Bible calls it good news. And Jesus came to bring the good news specifically of the kingdom. That's why Jesus came. The very first sermon he preached and the most often sermon that he preached was that he was bringing a kingdom. We read it in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing what? Jesus preached and announced the good news about the kingdom. That was his sermon. That was his go-to sermon. It was the sermon that he commissioned his disciples to preach in Matthew chapter 24. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And it was the sermon that the early church preached from Acts chapter 8. But now the people believed Philip's message. What was Philip's message that the apostles taught him, that Jesus taught them? It was the message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And what happens? Excuse me just a minute. Something's got us both, Wendell. What happens when we preach the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ? As a result, many men and women were baptized. See, that's what happens when we preach good news. That's what happens when we preach Jesus. It's what happens when we preach the kingdom. People get baptized. We don't have to preach baptism, but we absolutely have to preach Jesus and his kingdom, because it was his sermon. And he taught his disciples his sermon. And we continue to preach the good news of the kingdom. Because the gospel isn't just offering a savior. Jesus is absolutely our savior. But he is also our sovereign. He is our king. And when we are baptized, we aren't just saved from something. We are saved into something. We are transferred from one kingdom into the kingdom of God. And that is the good news of our God. That with the coming of Jesus as king, he is bringing his kingdom, his authority, his dominion back to this earth. And we are invited to join him. We are invited to come into his kingdom. We're invited to change our allegiance. And that's why when Jesus preached his sermon about the kingdom, he always called people to repent. Matthew chapter 4. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And I don't know how you hear repent, but repent isn't a rebuke. Repent is an invitation, the greatest invitation. Jesus calls us to repent, to change allegiance, to come into his kingdom. It's an invitation to make a change and to recognize that Jesus is the legitimate king, and to change the way that we invest ourselves, so that we begin to invest in his kingdom, because his kingdom will never, ever end. And the biggest change that we have to make is to give up the kingdom of me. biggest change any one of us have to make, the thing we most need to repent of, is our allegiance to the kingdom of me. Because the reality is that every one of us really do want to be the king of our own life. In most of the frustrations, most of the struggles in this life are the result of us wanting to be our own king. Because when everyone is running around like they are the king, when everyone is promoting their own will and their own agenda, you get the mess that our world is in. It's like the couple who had an argument over the weekend, and they were mad at each other, so they just quit talking to each other. They gave each other the silent treatment all weekend long. I just saw a couple of you nudge. But Sunday night came, and the guy knew he had to get up pretty early for a flight, and he needed his wife to make sure he woke up, but he wasn't talking to her. So he wrote a note, and he put it on her side of the bed, and it said, "Wake me up at 5 o'clock. And the next morning, when he woke up, it was 8 o'clock. And he was mad. He threw those covers off, and when he did, a note floated off of him. And there was a note on his covers that said, "It's 5 o'clock, wake up." See, that's why the world is in the mess that it's in. Because everybody is trying to be their own king. And everybody's trying to get their will to be done. And it is the lie of the enemy's kingdom that says my happiness depends on my will being done and on my kingdom coming. But there is a reality, and here it is. You ain't the king, and you ain't got a kingdom. How's that for grammar? English teachers hate it, but you'll remember that, because you ain't the king and you ain't got a kingdom. Jesus is the king, and Jesus has a kingdom. And it's a better kingdom than the one that you are trying to build. It's a kingdom that works better than your kingdom works. And it's a kingdom that will last longer than your kingdom will last. Life just works better in Jesus' kingdom, and it works better when I acknowledge Him as King and when I obey Him as King. But that is the rub. That's the trick. Because what Jesus says about life in His kingdom sounds crazy to my kingdom. When Jesus says things like, "Don't store up stuff here on earth, but better store up things in heaven," that sounds crazy to my kingdom. Because in my kingdom, I've got things I want to accumulate and build. When Jesus says things like, "If somebody takes your stuff, then just let them have it," that sounds crazy in my kingdom. When Jesus says, "If somebody curses you, you see how quickly you can bless them." That's crazy in my kingdom. When Jesus says, "If someone hurts you, you forgive them whether they ask for it or not." It's crazy to my kingdom. When Jesus says, "If you want to be great and if you want to get ahead, then you put yourself at the end of the line." I'm all about getting to the front in my kingdom. When He says things if you really, really want to live, then you've got to die to yourself. That's crazy to my kingdom. It's crazy unless He really is the king and He really does have a kingdom and He knows what He's talking about. But you got to seek His kingdom. You got to look for His kingdom. kingdom, when he told parables about his kingdom, he said, it's like a little mustard seed. Or it's like a treasure in a field. You got to go find it. You got to look for it and seek it. But if you will seek it, you will find it. And when you do, he calls you to repent and change. And change your allegiance. Because you can only enter Jesus' kingdom on Jesus' terms. And so another thing we need to know about Jesus is he came to call us to surrender. He came to call us to surrender. And the first thing you must know to seek the kingdom first is to know that you're not first. It's about surrender. And you have to surrender it all. Because the reality is, Jesus didn't come as a king to help you and me build our kingdom. Jesus came to be the master over us, to be the sovereign over us, to be the ruler over us, and we surrender and come into his kingdom. And that means I've got to surrender my job. It means you've got to surrender your finances. It means that we've got to surrender our sexuality. It means that we've got to surrender our hobbies and our language and our entertainment choices. And we can just go down the list of all of the things that Jesus is going to call us to surrender as we come into his kingdom. We can't hold any of it back. We can't keep some of it over safely in this little corner. We've got to open it all up and surrender it all. All the places in your life where you are currently calling the shots. All the places in your life where your will is coming first. That's why he taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done." Because Jesus is coming after your kingdom. There was a very fine and upstanding man who came to Jesus. He was moral, he was ethical, he was good, and he was rich. And he asked Jesus, "What do I have to do to get in your kingdom?" And when he asked that question, Jesus went right for his kingdom. And he said, "You go sell everything that you have, and you come and you follow me." Now, I don't think that man had a charity issue. The issue wasn't he didn't give enough money. I think the man had an idolatry issue. I think the man had a kingdom issue. And Jesus went right after his kingdom. And when the man heard this, it says he went away and he was very sad because he was rich. And we're about to read something that Jesus said. And because it hits close to home, close to our kingdom, we don't want it to mean what it says. But Jesus always meant what he said. And in Luke chapter 18, after his interaction with this man, when Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Why is that? Maybe it's because those of us who are rich, and let's be really, really honest, compared to 95% of the world, every one of us are rich. For those of us who are rich, we end up having the ability and the resources to build a kingdom. We can make some things happen when we want them to happen. We can fix things when they go wrong. Those of us who are rich, we have some ability to build, to prop up, to sustain our kingdom. And I think that's why it's especially hard for us to surrender to Jesus everything, to give it all to Him. But Jesus won't change His terms. Not for me, not for you. He's going to call us to surrender, and He's going to call us to sacrifice. But here's the beautiful thing. It really isn't a sacrifice. Because when we give it to Jesus, it's not really lost. And another reality is, it was never going to last anyway. Because anything I build in my kingdom is going to burn up when Jesus comes back. Everything that I build in my kingdom is going to go up in flames when Jesus comes back. But anything that I build for Jesus' kingdom is going to last forever, because Jesus' kingdom is going to last forever. Amen? That's why we do what we do, folks. Because we believe that Jesus is the King. We believe that He is coming back. And we believe that what we build in His kingdom, when we store those treasures up in heaven, they're going to last forever and forever and forever. It's why we do what we do. It's why we do what we do here as a church. It's why for almost 60 years we have invested in campus ministry. And our campus ministers, a lot of our college students are off visiting another church today where they're doing some service. But it's why we invest in college students. It's why we have Jeremy and Jenny as ministers on the campus of MSU, because we believe that what we build in Jesus' name is going to last and it's going to make a difference. It's why we support Emily down in Arlington at the University of Texas there. It's why we support the Rollins, who are planting churches. It's why we do what we do. It's why you went over and above in your support for them this year. It's why we support the MedRim Initiative, where Muslims who have never, ever heard of Jesus before are coming to Him and recognizing Him as their King. And they're giving their life to Him. And it's where churches are being planted in countries where it is illegal to have a church. It's why we do what we do, because those aren't going to burn up. They're going to last forever. It's why we have folks who go to the Faith Mission and the Faith Refuge every month to serve the less fortunate in Jesus' name. It's why we have the Hope Ministry for families of loved ones with mental illness that meets every Tuesday night. It's why we have a group of ladies who put together meal kits for the Blessing Box to feed the hungry in our neighborhood. It's why when we could, we had over 20 people who were on the campus of Southern Hills every week. And by the way, I talked to the counselor there the other day, and she's hoping and praying that we're going to get to do that again in the fall. It's why we do that. It's why we dedicate our time every week to go and to read to second graders. It's why we continue to seek God for opportunities to minister in that school and to minister in that neighborhood, because we believe we have good news about a King who has a kingdom and it's going to last. It's why we invest in the next generation of students here in our own congregation. It's why we have folks who are giving up time in their busy schedules to lead D groups. It's why we spent the last 30 days fasting and praying for the lost in our city, because we believe that Jesus is King. Marty, this was when you should have amened me. Marty went to Welch Street a couple of weeks ago and he said he was going to come back and amen me. And that was the time to do it, because Jesus is King. And Jesus has a kingdom. And it's going to last forever. Everything you give up for it is not really giving up anything at all. Because what you gave up was going to burn up anyway. But what you build in His name is going to last. Because His kingdom is going to last. And the last thing is, because Jesus is coming to reign over all. Jesus came, and Jesus is coming. And when he does, he's going to reign over it all. Let's be honest. On a lot of days, it does not feel like Jesus is reigning over all. On a lot of days, it's only by faith that we believe Jesus is on the throne. But a day is coming when our faith will see its reward. And when reality will be in front of every single person. Because Jesus, we will see him on his throne. Right now, there is still a kingdom of darkness in this world. But that kingdom is not stronger than Jesus' kingdom. And every time we go forward with Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of darkness is going to get pushed back. But there is still a kingdom of darkness in this world. And although God's kingdom has come, it has not yet fully come. But the day is coming, and it may be coming soon, that Jesus is going to come again. And what he came the first time to inaugurate, he's going to come the second time to consummate. And everything's going to be made right. And the powers that be will become the powers that were. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the King. That's our future. But for those of us in the kingdom now, what we're called to do is live like it's already happened. Like Jesus is already the King, because he is. And it's got to affect every single decision, every single choice that we make. In 2017, a man named Alex Honnold became the first person to ever climb El Capitan. El Capitan is that 3,000-foot granite, sheer granite rock in Yosemite. He became the first person to climb that with just his hands and his feet. He had no ropes. He had no equipment. At one point, he was literally hanging 1,000 feet in the air by his thumbs. That's crazy. He lives in a van most of the year. And he just goes to the next place he's going to climb. Here's what he says about his life. I'm willing to give up having stability. I'm willing to give up having a shower. I'm willing to give up having a hot meal because I want to climb the best places in the world. And I probably live more intentionally than virtually anyone. I have made clear choices about what I find value in and what risk I'm willing to take. I'm doing exactly what I want to do. See, he's built a kingdom. He said, it's very easy for someone sitting on the couch at home to condemn it as crazy and stupid. But he said, I can justify all my choices. Can you say the same thing about your life? See, that seems crazy to most of us. But to most of the world, so does following Jesus. But if you do believe in Jesus, and you believe that he came into this world, and that he lived a perfect life, and that he died on a cross, and that he was buried in a grave, and that he rose from that grave, and that he is coming again, and that when he comes again, he is going to give a command, and dead people are going to come out of their graves. If you believe that, and you are not living consistently with what he teaches, then you're the one who's crazy. And if you are here this morning and you are ready to repent and change your allegiance and accept Jesus' invitation to come into his kingdom, I want to talk to you before you leave here. And if you are curious about knowing more about Jesus and knowing more about this reality that he is a king and knowing more about his kingdom, I would love to get you hooked up with a D group, and I want to talk to you before you leave here. And if you are already in the kingdom, but you're really struggling, to make your decisions, to make your choices, to set your priorities based on Him, I want to pray for you before you leave here. I'm going to be over at the prayer room. Elmer's going to lead a shepherding prayer here in a little bit. He and Linda will be over at that prayer room. But let's pray right now to the King. Father, thank you so much that you have sent Jesus into this world to be our King and to bring your kingdom. And I thank you for every person in this room who has changed their allegiance and serve you and worship you and bow down to you and obey you. And I pray for those who have not done so yet in our church and in our city, that because of us, they would hear about the King and about His kingdom. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.